Today is April 16th. Welcome on in to Daily Cards Live here on ClaibsOnline.com, brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri and Munganas St. Louis Acura. I'm Joe Roderick, joined alongside by Bob Ramsey. We have Cardinals and A's first pitch about an hour from now in Oakland. We will get to that in just a bit, but sad news out of Cardinal Nation earlier this morning, as it was announced that the Hall of Famer, the Baseball Hall of Famer, Whitey Herzog, passed away at the age of 92. Ramer, I know you've been on the radio for pretty much half the day today, probably talking a lot about Whitey and the memories that you've had, not only watching Whitey ball, but getting to cover it too in its heyday.
Well, and I really didn't, I moved back to St. Louis in the winter of 85, 86. So I really missed that 82 team and really 85 as well. But got to know Whitey. When I did come back, I was working at Channel 11 at the time. But of the things that we're talking about, you know, one thing that hadn't been mentioned, and I felt guilty about it as well, at least I didn't hear it mentioned, was that what a great job he did as a manager for the Royals. Mm-hmm. He was really good. In fact, his winning percentage with the Royals was better than with the Cardinals. He just couldn't get past the Yankees. And because of that, Kauffman fired him and later on admitted it was a huge mistake to do so. But he was a terrific player. He was the if you wanted to look at what a platoon guy was, he was a left-handed hitter and didn't hit lefties very well, but really played pretty darn well as a part-time guy, a platoon guy for some bad teams. But he really learned the game when he came through the minor leagues with the Yankees. And then he went from there to be a scout and running the farm department for the Mets and all those kinds of things that led him to being a manager. And those parts of his career probably need to be talked about more. I think they're really fascinating how a baseball lifer became that.
Yeah, well, they in Rob Manfred's statement that he issued earlier today, he mentioned both franchises, saying Whitey Herzog was one of the most accomplished managers of his generation and a consistent winner with both I-70 franchises. He made a significant impact on the St. Louis Cardinals as both a manager and general manager, with the Kansas City Royals and as a manager, and with the New York Mets in player development, and then going on to state some of the accomplishments of Whitey Herzog during his career. I mean, look, we're 40 years past it, and still people today will still talk nonstop about Whitey ball. And just, you know, even though the game has changed, people still want to see Whitey ball implemented in today's game to see how it would work. And so much of that, I think, was brought back up last year with the just the amount of stolen bases that we saw throughout baseball last year. I think it reminded a lot of people of what the game was like in the 80s.
Well, with speed, you can put pressure on. With defense, speed, and pitching, especially defense and speed, that should never slump. So if you defend and you can run, you can do some things that don't rely on a hitter being hot. Pitching can come and go a little bit, but not nearly as much as hitting. And that's why speed and defense was so paramount. And because the Cardinals played in such a huge ballpark in the 80s and it was AstroTurf, that he was able to build his team around or find players with those attributes.
The Cardinals will get underway in about an hour from now. They will be back home on Friday. We will see then what the Cardinals will do to honor Whitey Herzog Friday night and for their homestand and possibly throughout the rest of the season. I don't think anything has been released as of yet with that. But you look at all of the Red Jackets that have passed away these last few years, and it's really kind of the end of an era of seeing those guys out there on opening day and during the playoffs, of seeing, you know, Gibson, Brock, Whitey, you had Bruce last year, and just the names go on and on of the guys that we will, Mike Shannon, that we'll never get a chance to see out there again on opening day. And it's a sad reminder of the days that that have gone past in Cardinal history.
And when you're voting on the Red Jackets each year, there, I've not seen a group yet where you would look at the candidates and go, he's not a Cardinal Hall of Famer. They're all worthy enough to be nominated. You know, vote for the oldest guy. Don't let him go in posthumously.
Yep.
Vote for the oldest guy. They're all worthy.
Yep.
I would just ask you to do that.
The Cardinals and A's tonight, Rammer. They won 3-1 last night. Another very good game out of the bullpen. Kettridge, JoJo Romero, and Ryan Helsley pitched three innings, allowing just one hit. Sonny Gray goes six strong, allowing zero runs again. So that's 11 innings to start his career as a St. Louis Cardinal without allowing a run. Sonny Gray has been exactly as advertised so far. He is exactly what you thought you were going to get out of a guy who contended for the Cy Young last year and was an all-star last year, and what you paid him to do for this team. Took him maybe 2 weeks into the season to get started, and you'd like to have maybe those two starts back, but heck, I mean, for what he's done so far, been damn impressive.
It's fun watching him work too. He doesn't mess around. He's all business. He gets after it. He's a strike thrower. His pitch count management is really, really good. And it's really fun to watch him.
And the amount of double plays that he's getting guys to roll into. And just he is truly a pitcher. He is not, you know, we've seen so much of these guys in today's baseball. I mean, you look at the list of names that are going on with Tommy John and elbow injuries and this and that, and it's because the guys are out there throwing 102 every single pitch and going out there and doing it. And Sonny Gray is, you know, when he needs the double play, he's getting the double play. And as you mentioned, pitch management, he knows when he needs to try to roll him over and get that ground ball to get himself out of the inning and kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, really, the whole night there was only the one mistake from Romero, one pitch. JoJo still pitched well. The pitching staff appears to kind of be rounding into the shape we had hoped for. Can they get there consistently and then moving forward be consistent? Again, you're not going to get shutout ball from all five starters every time through the rotation, but can you get starts that keep you competitive in a game?
Yeah.
That's critical, and that's what this staff will need to do if it's going to have any success.
Lance Lynn gets the ball tonight, making his fourth start of the season for the Cardinals. Has faced the Dodgers, the Marlins, and the Phillies so far on the year. The only of those three outings, the only one he allowed any earned runs in was the start against the Marlins. Went 4 2/3, 8 hits, 4 runs in that, and kind of just blew up in that one inning, giving up the 2 home runs in that one inning, 3 overall. On the game. But the issue with Lance Lynn coming into this year was, basically, was he going to be able to cut down on the home runs? Was he going to be able to not allow as many as he had in previous years? 44 home runs last year between the White Sox and the Dodgers. 3 starts in, he has allowed 3 home runs. So on pace to cut back on that number as of now. Well, I guess we can recheck this every few starts and see how he's doing. But 2.63 ERA, 13 2/3 innings pitched so far. Lance Lynn has come back to St. Louis and is really, he wanted to be a leader on this club, and right now he's leading by example.
Along with just the raw numbers, you would like him to get another inning or so each time out. And the innings eating thing that was that we thought we were going to get with the staff still has to be determined, but it's early. You don't expect your whole rotation to go 7 innings each start for the first 3 weeks. That's not very realistic. But in another couple of weeks, You're going to give me 90, 100 pitches. Let's get into the seventh inning. Let's make sure that bullpen's not overtaxed. And those are the things we'll start looking for as this starting rotation hopefully evolves.
And it's and also on top of that, yes, you would like to see them go further. What I like seeing out of the bullpen right now, which is just it just continues to impress me every series with this bullpen, is the amount of pitches that they're throwing. They're not going out. And in years past, we would see them go out there and they would get up to 20 pitches in an inning. You go, God, are they going to be able to throw again in 2 days? One day, yesterday, you had an inning out of Kittredge, 13 pitches. One inning out of Romero, 14 pitches. Helsley comes in for the save, 10 pitches. That is 34. That is 37 pitches in three innings out of your relief. That's really good.
Very efficient. And when you're going well, that's the way those numbers are supposed to look. Don't walk people, attack, and those are the numbers you'll get.
The game tonight, we have your lineups for Cardinals and A's. Cardinals looking to get back to 500 with their win tonight, 8-9 on the year. They will have Brendan Donovan leading off and playing second base tonight. Paul Goldschmidt's at first. Wilson Contreras batting third and play behind the plate. Nolan Arenado is at third. Ivan Herrera, your DH tonight, batting fifth. Lars Nootbaar is in left. Mason Wynn is at short. Jordan Walker in right. And Michael Ciani is in center field for the Cardinals. For the Oakland Athletics, Abraham Toro is at third. Zach Gieloff is at second. J.J. Belde is in center. Seth Brown in left. Tyler Nevin DHing. Lawrence Butler in right. Kyle McCann is behind the plate. Darrell Hernandez is at short, and Ryan Noda is your first baseman tonight for Oakland. With the Cardinals lineup tonight, it's another case. Well, first off, they're facing a lefty. The starting pitcher for the A's tonight, J.P. Sears, a left-handed pitcher. So I think that's kind of the big reason why you're seeing no Nolan Gorman tonight, and you're seeing Lars Nootbaar drop in the lineup from third down to sixth. So you're going right-handed heavy at the top. But it's also giving you that excuse to get Ivan Herrera and Wilson Contreras both in the lineup and figuring out how to do so.
Well, and that's what I thought the Cardinals would do or should do all along, that Herrera needs to play for sure against lefties. And I think he's already shown he could play every day. But this is a good way to get him in, and I think it's a pretty good lineup. I think the interesting thing is, what do the Cardinals – think about Victor Scott the second. Mm-hmm. He's starting to look a little overwhelmed. What's funny is he's putting the ball in play, but he's hitting everything up in the air. Meanwhile, Walker is hitting everything on the ground, and you'd like for their skill sets to flip it. It's really a strange situation. But I wonder if Victor Scott's numbers continue. And it's really not as much the numbers as it is the eye test. Will we get to a point in another week or so that we got to think about he might need to go back down to Memphis? I hope that's not the case. I was one of the biggest and loudest supporters of him making this ball club, but he's hitting everything in the air instead of concentrating on getting bunts down. And when he draws the third baseman in, trying to slap it past him, hit it hard past the third baseman. Those are the things he's got to do to get on base and walk. And none of those things are happening right now.
And I just want to point out, if Victor Scott does get sent back down to Memphis, this is not a failed experiment. There are a number of players, a number of all-stars, I think, in today's game that were initially called up at a very young age, sent back down after a few weeks, and then get the call up again and then thrive. And yeah, it happens.
Happens every day.
So if it doesn't, if he gets sent back down, which we haven't heard an update on Dylan Carlson lately, but I think when that comes, I would imagine that's the move. And maybe at some point we get that, whether it's during the next home stint.
Victor just needs to get hot.
Yeah.
And if he gets hot, it'll fix everything.
It would. And, you know, outside of the game against the Phillies, defensively, he's been just fine too. So that's kind of what you're asking him to do and hold down the fort out in center field. So it's Cardinals and A's tonight. 8:40 is the start time. Last night, Klaibs tweeted out about 5,500 fans there for that Rammer. There were more fans for that and almost most of the Billikens games, I think, that you called this past year.
Not close.
Right. Chaffetz is going to have over 6,000 this week, this Sunday for AEW. They have wrestling, a pay-per-view in town, Rammer. If you want to go to that, let me know. We'll go hit up Chaffetz on Sunday.
You just keep spitting out letters. I don't know what that means. You're only going to have 6,000.
I think that's what it is right now. 6,000. I mean, you have the ring in the middle. You have the whole stage set up. So there's stuff that's they're taking away some seats for that. I do need to get with you and see if we can use your private suite for that event too. So I need to talk to you about that and see if we can have the Bob Ramsey suite.
Yeah, I'll just invoice you. It'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. We will be with you, I think, before the game starts tomorrow. 3 o'clock start time for the getaway day from Oakland and the getaway and never go back day to Oakland tomorrow.
That's good.
As the Cardinals will play their final game ever in Oakland, California, before the team moves to Sacramento. Rammer, I don't know California geography, so I don't know if that they're moving north or south. I'm going to guess south down to Sacramento.
No, it's east and maybe maybe it's like east northeast.
Oh, wow. I was way off with that. All right. Well, I'll leave the
It's on the road to Lake Tahoe.
Okay. Haven't been there either, so not sure, but I'll leave the geography to you for any future shows. Rammer, I'm also going to leave the live reads to you as we are brought to you each and every day by our friends at Munganass St. Louis Acura and also Royal Banks.
Yeah, looking forward. I'm going to meet with some folks at Royal Banks tomorrow. You know, I've been very lucky for over 20, closer to 30 years of being a spokesman for Royal Banks. It's always great to be with those folks. They support the Cardinals and the Billikens and the Tigers and just about anything you can think of because they believe in the community. And that means you. Give them a call, 314-212-1500, or go online to royalbanksofmo.com, and you'll find out why it's Royal Banks, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Enjoy the game tonight. He is Bob Ramsey. I'm Joe Roderick. This has been Daily Cards Live right here on Klaibs Online.
Hi, everybody. I'm Peter Munganass with Munganass St. Louis Acura, here to talk to you today about some benefits of Acura's Certified Pre-Owned program. After passing a 182-point multi-point inspection, Acura backs all of our Certified Pre-Owned cars with a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty and a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Munganass St. Louis Acura has new inventory arriving daily. Come on into Munganass St. Louis Acura today, meet our award-winning team, and find that perfect Certified Pre-Owned Acura for you.